The title of the sermon this morning is Fighting for Our First Freedom, Fighting for Our First Freedom. And so we're doing a sermon series right now called Send It Ahead, and it's based upon what's called the Treasure Principle. And the Treasure Principle was written by an author called Randy Alcorn, and the name of his book is The Treasure Principle, and so that's where I got it from. But it comes right from the teachings of Jesus. But the Treasure Principle is this: when it comes to your money, when it comes to your possessions, you can't take them with you to heaven, but you can send it ahead. When it comes to your money, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And the idea is that there's limited benefit to accumulating lots and lots of worldly, earthly wealth, to savings accounts and insurance and investing in the stock market and inheritance that you can leave behind. There's limited benefits to that, because one day you're going to die and you're going to go to heaven as a Christian. And all that money that you've saved up and accumulated is going to be left here. It's not going to do you any good in heaven. But the Bible says that there is a way that you can take all of your wealth, all of your money, and you can actually send it on ahead and store up earthly treasure for yourself in heaven. That all of us as Christians go to heaven, not because of our good deeds, not because of how much money we give to charity. We go to heaven because we put our faith in Jesus, who paid for our sins on the cross. But the size of your reward in heaven, the level of your joy in heaven, depends on what you do in this life. And so Jesus was always, and several of the New Testament authors were encouraging us, use your money to store up as much heavenly treasure as you can. And one of the ways to do that is to give to the poor. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 12:33. Just to recap, he said, sell your possessions. Now, this is not a command for every Christian to sell all your possessions. This is what Jesus is saying, is you need to prioritize storing up heavenly treasure. Don't just think about your life on earth, because you're going to spend the bulk of your existence in heaven in the next life. So he says, sell your possessions and give to the what? Give to the poor. Make money bags for yourselves that won't grow old, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. So Jesus says you can store up and build up your heavenly treasure, your heavenly reward, by giving to the poor. And so that's what we're focusing on in this Christmas offering, Send It Ahead. We're focusing on storing up heavenly treasures for ourselves. Now, that may sound selfish, because, you know, we're giving to some needy people, some needy causes. We're giving to world missions. We're giving to religious liberty. We're giving to protecting the unborn. But really, the Bible, Jesus used heavenly treasure as a motivation for giving. So it's okay for us to do that. It's okay for us to say, I want to give as much as I can because I want to store up heavenly treasure for myself. Jesus gave us that motivation. And so that's what we're doing in this sermon series and in this Christmas offering. We're storing up earthly or heavenly treasures by giving to the poor. And I've identified three kinds of poor that you can give to. In a previous sermon, the first kind of poor are the spiritually poor. That's the lost, people who don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. And you can give to the spiritually poor by giving to world missions, by giving to the church, by giving to any ministry that focuses on reaching lost people for Jesus. Then there are the financially poor, and that's usually who we think of. And financial poverty has nothing to do with income inequality. It's a ridiculous term, income inequality, because income inequality is not a problem. For example, my next door neighbor is an engineer at one of the major oil companies in town in Lafayette, and really it's a worldwide company, and so he makes way more money than me. And so our incomes are not equal at all, but that's not a problem. I'm not poor. And, you know, he hasn't stolen my money. Income inequality is not the problem. Poverty is the problem. When people suffer real lack of necessities, that's the real problem. And so the way that you help the financially poor is by finding a way to help people who really are in need. And then there's a third kind of poor that we're focusing on in this Christmas offering, and that's the legally poor. The legally poor, the judicially poor, and those people, those are people who do not have equal rights and protection under the law. People who don't have equal rights and protection under the law. There was a time in our nation's history when that included black people. But thanks to the abolitionist movement and thanks to the civil rights movement, which was led by Christians, now black people have full rights and full protection under the law. Is racism still a problem? Well, racism will always exist bigotry will always exist. Persecution will always exist. Mean people will always exist. But racism, because the laws have changed, because black people now have equal rights and protection under the law, racism is no longer a major problem in America, because racism is not preventing black people from fulfilling their dreams in America. No longer. Will a black person meet a racist person? Yeah, but so will you as a white person. But that's not preventing you from fulfilling your dreams anymore. But there are still people in America who don't have full rights and protection under the law. One of those groups of people are the unborn. We've talked about how the most dangerous place to live in America is inside of a mother's womb, because there it is legal to kill a baby. And so unborn children don't have full rights and protection under the law. That's something we're going to talk about next Sunday. Today we're going to talk about another group of people who don't have full rights and protection under the law right now in America, and that's you, Christians. Right now, Christians do not have full protection, equal rights and protection under the law, and that's what we're going to talk about. And so for the past several years, let me kind of set this up with giving you a little bit of background. For the past several years, several cities and states around America have passed what are called SOGIs. And I wanted to write that word down for you so you could see what it looks like. SOGI, and then the little S to make it plural. SOGIs. Several cities and states around America have passed SOGIs, and I should say probably many. What SOGI stands for is sexual orientation, gender identity. And these are ordinances or laws passed by cities or states. And these have been passed for the past 10 or 15 years, states and cities. These are very new. But states and cities have been passing these ordinances, these laws. Now, we don't have these in the state of Louisiana yet as a state. There are two cities in Louisiana that have SOGIs, and that's New Orleans and Shreveport. But they haven't made it to Acadiana yet. But what SOGIs are these are laws that are intended to promote equality for people who identify as gay, lesbian, or transgender by making it illegal to discriminate against people on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Just as the law, in the United States Constitution, because of amendments that were passed, now it is illegal, but because of the Civil Rights Act, it's now illegal to discriminate against someone on the basis of race. Well, several cities and states have included in those protections for people on the basis of gender identity and sexual orientation. So that's why they're called SOGIs. Now, on the surface, that sounds great. Discrimination is bad. Who would want somebody to be discriminated against? But here's the problem. The authors and the advocates of SOGIs failed to recognize or decided that they don't care that there are millions and millions and millions of Americans who have deeply held religious and moral convictions about marriage and sexuality and gender. Deeply held religious beliefs that go back thousands of years. These include Christians and Muslims and Orthodox Jews and other groups. And so what happens whenever the fight for quote-unquote equality clashes with the constitutional protection of religious liberty? What happens when religion, the freedom of religion, and this idea of equality clash? What happens, as Al Mohler puts it, whenever there's a clash between sexual liberty and religious liberty? Well, what's been happening all over the country in places where they have SOGIs is that Christians, in the name of tolerance, Christians have been persecuted for their faith. Because of Christians' belief about marriage and sexuality and gender, Christians all over America are being fired from their jobs. They're being sued. They're being put in jail. Kim Davis from Kentucky, if you remember her. They're having to shut down their businesses, or they're having to decrease the size of their businesses simply because of their religious beliefs having to do with SOGIs. And if you remember, a couple of years ago in 2015, whenever the fight for same-sex marriage was going on, one of the things that they used to say whenever for activists and advocates for same-sex marriage, they used to say, what does a gay marriage have to do with you? What does gay marriage have to do with your marriage? Well, the truth is that in cities and states that already had legalized same-sex marriage, Christians have been under attack. What about those Christians, Muslims, Jews that have deeply held religious convictions that marriage is only between a man and woman? What happens whenever you legalize same-sex marriage? Now there's a clash of viewpoints. What happens in that situation? Well, what's been happening is that sexual liberty has been given precedence. It's been given priority over religious liberty. Let me give you a few examples, and I've told some of these before, and some of these you've heard, and Andrew's going to follow along with some pictures, but you've heard of Kelvin Cochran. Probably he was the fire chief in the city of Atlanta. He was hired in 2008. And he was also appointed at the time by President Obama as the U.S. Fire Administrator for the United States Fire Administration, which is the highest office in his profession. He had made it to the very height of success as a firefighter. Well, when the city council discovered that he had written a Christian book, specifically targeting Christian men, that talked about God's view of marriage, God's view of sexuality. And so in it, he talked about how marriage is only between a man and a woman. It talked about how homosexuality is defined by the Bible as a sinful behavior. When the city council of Atlanta found out that he had written this book, they fired him. According to the city of Atlanta, apparently, you're not fit to work for the city government if you believe the way that you believe, if you believe that marriage is only between a man and a woman and homosexuality is a sin and there's only two genders, male and female, and that coincides with your biological sex, if you believe those crazy ancient beliefs that have been around forever until just very recently, then you're not fit to work for the city government of Atlanta. So he was fired. He's still fighting and appealing his case. Then there are the story of David and Jason Benham, twin brothers who were about to start a new HGTV home improvement television show called Flip It Forward. And when homosexual activists discovered that they were strong Christians who were against homosexuality, against same-sex marriage, homosexual advocates made a big deal out of it and said, these are hateful people. These are hateful men. These are bigots. And so HGTV decided to cancel the show before it aired its first episode. Think of all the money, all the opportunity that these guys had to forfeit because they had, simply because they were Christians like you and me. Then there's the story of Craig James. Craig James was a sports broadcaster for Fox Sports Southwest. So he was one of these commentators for football games on TV. And when a videotape surfaced showing him expressing his belief that marriage is only between a man and a woman, he's a Christian. When a videotape surfaced of him expressing that belief, he was fired by Fox Sports Southwest. So again, here's another company, Fox Sports, who says, if you believe the way that you believe, you're not fit to work here. Then there's Brendan Eich. Brendan Eich was the CEO and co-founder of Mozilla, which is the company best known for the internet browser called Firefox. Brendan Eich was the creator of that. He also invented the programming language called JavaScript. When it was discovered that he was actually against same-sex marriage, in California, they tried to pass a law defining marriage as only between a man and a woman, and they ended up doing that in California. Well, he voted for it. And when it was found out by a gay activist that he was against same-sex marriage, he was fired from his company, Mozilla. He was let go from his company, lost his position there. And then there's the story of Elaine Huguenin, of Elaine's Photography. It's a photography business in New Mexico. She has no employees, just works by herself, and she takes pictures of people for all kinds of different things, baby pictures, graduation pictures, also pictures for engagement pictures, wedding pictures. She was approached by a same-sex couple to take pictures of their same-sex wedding, and as a Christian, she believes that's wrong. You can't be a part of that. Well, they sued her and took her to court, and the state of New Mexico ordered her, you need to take those pictures regardless of your religious beliefs. We don't care what you believe. You can't discriminate because of the SOGIs that we've put in place, these sexual orientation, gender identity laws that we've put in place. Well, so she was ordered to pay the lesbian couple over $6,000 in attorney's fees. Then there's the story of Baronelle Stutzman. Baron L. Stutzman is the owner of Arlene's Flowers in the state of Washington. And she, one of her longtime customers, a gay customer, came to her and finally said, "Hey, I'm getting married. I want you to do the flowers for my wedding." And our Baronelles had to say, "No, I love you. I'll give you, sell you anything you want as usual, but I can't be a part of a same-sex wedding because it's against my religion." And so she was sued, and the Attorney General of the state of Washington is not only suing her for everything she owns personally, but also professionally. They're going after everything that she has. And so she's in danger of losing it all. She's trying to appeal that case right now. In fact, they're trying to include that case in the Supreme Court case that's coming up, which is the next story. What has happened over the past few years is, after all these cases of religious persecution have stacked up, well, Christians are trying to fight back through the court system, through the legal system. And so many of these cases have gone to the steps of the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has continued to say, "No, we don't want to touch that issue. We don't want to touch that issue." Well, finally, the Supreme Court has said, we're going to take on the issue. We're going to take on this battle between equality and religious liberty, or between sexual liberty and religious freedom. We're going to finally take on this issue. And the case that's coming up, and it's actually the oral arguments are going to be this week, is called Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. This is part of what we're raising money for in our Christmas offering. The man at the center of this is Jack Phillips. And Jack Phillips is the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. Let me tell you about Jack, because this is who we're praying for this week, and this is who we're raising money for. From an early age, Jack loved art. And after high school, he finally found a way to make money with his art through cake design. He can open up a bakery and design custom cakes for people using his artistic talent and find a way to make a living using his art. And so in 1993, I was just 13 years old, he opened his bakery and called it Masterpiece Cake Shop. And you can actually go online and look it up, and you can check out he's got a great website for his company. And he chose the name Masterpiece Cake Shop for two reasons. Jack is a strong Christian. The first reason is because he wanted every cake and everything done in his business to honor his master, Jesus Christ. It's actually named after his favorite Bible verse, which is Ephesians 2:10, which should be on the screen. His favorite Bible verse is, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Let me quote from Jack himself. He said, "The master part of masterpiece reminds me what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that no man can serve two masters," in Matthew 6:24. He went on, he said, "We don't want God to be part of our lives on just Sundays. We want him to be part of our lives every day." Isn't that what we teach at Church Acadiana? Religion isn't just a Sunday thing. It's not just a church thing. It's something you do all day long, all week long. Your Christianity permeates every part of your life. The second reason why he called it Masterpiece Cake Shop was because his business is not simply a bakery. He never wanted it to simply be a bakery. He wanted it to be an art gallery. It really is his way of expressing his art. Every cake is truly a work of art. In fact, the logo of his business, I have a picture of it up here. The logo of his business is an artist's palette with both a paintbrush and an egg beater whisk. When he first opened his business in 1993, a reporter from the local newspaper wrote an article about his business and said that right when you walk into his shop, you see an art gallery of cakes. And I've included a few pictures of his award-winning cakes. He's an award-winning cake designer. He really is. He's very, very good. Sorry about the quality of the projector. I'm working on that, and hopefully in a few weeks I'll have that figured out. But these are some of his cakes that he's done. Well, because Jack is a Christian, it's cool. There's one of those, which is a crawfish pot with crawfish. I don't know if you can see that, but because Jack is a Christian, he made a decision, as you would, I trust, from the very beginning, that there were certain cakes as a Christian that he couldn't design. He would only design cakes and do things in his business that honored the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the very beginning, he decided he would not design Halloween cakes. For him, that would cross the line. From the very beginning, he decided that he would not create cakes that would disparage other people. He would not create racist cakes, atheist cakes, anti-American cakes. He doesn't create cakes that celebrate divorce. One time somebody asked him to make a cake that was like basically a celebration. Finally, I got my divorce, and have a big celebration. He said, no, I can't do that. He doesn't make crude cakes for bachelor and bachelorette parties. One time he was asked to make a cake for Satan's birthday. And he said, no, can't do that. So you get where I'm going. He only makes cakes that would honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means he doesn't make cakes for same-sex wedding receptions. Now, keep in mind that Jack serves everyone. He serves gays and lesbians and straight people. He serves blacks and whites and Hispanics, Republicans and Democrats. Anybody that comes into his store gets served. But there are some messages that he cannot promote. There's some events that he can't participate in as a Christian. It's the same for you. If you produced any kind of work, there's some messages you wouldn't want to produce. There are some events that you would not want to participate in good conscience. Same with Jack. And that means he can't be a part of a same-sex wedding ceremony. Well, in 2012, and that's how long this has been going on, it's just now going to the Supreme Court. This all started in 2012. In 2012, Jack was approached by a same-sex couple to design a cake for their wedding reception. And so Jack said, I'm sorry, but I can't do a cake for a same-sex wedding. I can pretty much sell you anything in the store, but I just can't do that. Well, the same-sex couple cussed him out, flipped him off. They left. About 20 minutes later, his phone started ringing, and for about the next few weeks, he was getting nonstop hateful phone calls. He received death threats. They initiated a boycott against him, a protest against him. Eventually, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission ordered Jack to design cakes for same-sex couples regardless of your religious beliefs. Doesn't matter what your religious beliefs are, you need to design these cakes for same-sex couples. They also ordered him to re-educate his staff and to file quarterly compliance reports for 2 years to make sure that he wasn't discriminating against same-sex couples. So Jack had two options. On the one hand, he could disobey God, and he could obey the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and treat them like God and say, okay, I'm going to obey you rather than God. Or he could just stop making wedding cakes altogether. That was his other option, and that was his only option as a Christian. That would be your only option. You don't have the luxury of just disobeying God. And so he stopped making wedding cakes, but this cost him dearly. He lost 40% of his business. Imagine if you're a business owner and you lose 40% of your business like that. He had to lay off 6 of his 10 employees, and 2 of those were his family members. So now, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom, which is a nonprofit legal firm, which is who our church is raising money for, we're trying to raise $1,000 in our Christmas offering to give to Alliance Defending Freedom. His attorney is Kristen Wagner. She's also the attorney who's representing Baronel Stutzman, and they're trying to include Baronel Stutzman's case with this one, with Jack Phillips' case. But we're trying to raise $1,000 to donate to them. That's what our church is doing as well. Tomorrow, we're going to be fasting and praying as a church. The Supreme Court is going to hear the oral arguments on Tuesday, this Tuesday, on December 5th. And that means that Kristen Wagner, Jack Phillips' attorney, as well as the attorney representing Colorado Civil Rights Commission, they're both going to stand before the Supreme Court this Tuesday and make their case, make their arguments. And so as a church, I'm going to be inviting you to fast and pray tomorrow, Monday, for Kristen Wagner, Jack Phillips, Alliance Defending Freedom, for that Supreme Court case. And so we're praying for success there. Now, some of you guys are new to this. You haven't paid much attention at what's going on in our country. So I wanted to give you a little bit of background and tell you why we're talking about this in church and why I want you to get involved. These are the words of Kristen Wagner, who is Jack Phillips' attorney. She said this, and she was trying to explain what's at stake. She said, "Will creative professionals continue to have the right to create artistic expression that is consistent with their convictions? Or will they be forced to create expression that violates those convictions and to celebrate religious ceremonies that violate their religious faith?" So this is not about your beliefs about same-sex marriage. In fact, there are a lot of gays and lesbians who actually agree that Jack Phillips should not be forced by the government to create a same-sex wedding cake. This is not about what you believe about God. This is really not about what you believe about marriage. This is about the freedom to live out your beliefs, not just at home, not just at church, not just in your mind, but when you go outside, when you go to work, the freedom to live out those beliefs, as long as you're not physically harming someone, of course. For example, should a gay-friendly baker be forced to design a cake that condemns homosexuality? Imagine if a Christian went into a gay-friendly baker and said, I want you to make a cake, and on it I want you to write Leviticus 18:22, which is a verse in the Bible that condemns homosexual behavior, and then I want you to write the words, homosexuality is a sin. Should a gay-friendly baker be forced to make a cake like that? Of course not. They should have the freedom to say, no, that offends me. I don't want to be a part of that. Should a Muslim baker be forced to design a cake that criticizes their religion and that says Muhammad is a false prophet? Or should the Muslim baker be able to say, no, I can't do that, that violates my religion? What about a Jewish photographer? Should a Jewish photographer be forced to take pornographic pictures? Or should the Jewish photographer be able to say, there are some things I can't take pictures of, and that's one of them? Think about a black property owner. You know, a lot of property owners, they rent out their barns or their property for parties and receptions, wedding receptions, and all kind of things like that. Well, let's say that a black property owner is approached by the KKK, and they want to have a KKK rally on his property. Should he be forced to, you know, treat the KKK equally and allow the KKK to use his property? Or should he, as a business owner, the owner of his property, be able to say, no, I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want my property to be used for something that violates my conscience. Or imagine if you owned a t-shirt company or a bumper sticker company. Should you be able to produce t-shirts and bumper stickers that only coincided, agreed with your faith and your religion? Or should the government be able to force you to print a message on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, any message that anybody wanted printed? You should have the freedom to follow your conscience. Imagine if you're a Christian doctor or nurse and you work in a hospital. Should the government be able to force you to participate in sex change operations, if that's against your conscience, or to perform abortions? Imagine if you're a doctor and the government came in and said, okay, if you're a doctor, if you're going to be a doctor in the United States of America, then if a woman comes in and wants an abortion, you have to give it to her. You have to kill her baby. Or should you have the freedom to say, I can do anything, I can help people, but I can't do abortions. It's against my religion. Well, that's what we're talking about. People should be free to exercise their religious and moral convictions, not just at home, not just at church, but at work, wherever you go, as long as you're not physically injuring people. And here's the issue of Jack, and this is what's happening in our country. If the government is able to grow in such scope and at such size and become so intrusive that they can go into a person like Jack Phillips' business and tell him what kind of cakes he has to make, then that means the government can force you and anybody, regardless of your religion, to do just about anything. There's an interesting story that illustrates this. It's a story about a 9-year-old boy from California named Pickle. There's a picture of him up on the screen. Pickle. His real name is Dylan Harbin, but people call him Pickle. And one day, Pickle sent a letter to Donald Trump, in which he told Trump that Trump was his favorite president. And he asked if they could be friends. And he even asked his parents if he could have a Donald Trump-themed birthday party. This is a 9-year-old kid. He wanted a Donald Trump-themed birthday party. His parents must have been very political. And he wanted a Donald Trump for his birthday. He wanted a suit, like Donald Trump wears a suit. He wanted to be able to wear a suit. And he wanted a cake that was designed, a Donald Trump cake that said, "Make America Great Again." Well, what was interesting is that his mother actually had to design the cake, had to make the cake, because as they called the bakeries around town, they couldn't find a baker who was willing to make a Donald Trump cake. All the bakers in town hated Donald Trump. It was California. Now, here's the question. Should those bakers be forced to make a cake for Donald, you know, a Donald Trump themed cake? Or should they have the freedom to say, I can make any cake you want. I just don't want to make a cake that's for Donald Trump. I can't stand Donald Trump. Should they have the freedom to do that? Of course they should. It's their business. But the question is, does everyone have the right to live out their religious beliefs at work, or only those people who hate Donald Trump? What about Christians like Jack Phillips, who says gay marriage is sinful, I can't be a part of that, I don't want my art going to that, I don't want my business supporting that or participating in that or promoting that? Does everybody have religious freedom, or only people who are against Donald Trump? There's a double standard at work here. Here's another interesting story. After the Colorado Civil Rights Commission decided that Jack had to make the same-sex wedding cake regardless of his religious beliefs, there was another Christian in Colorado who sprung into action. And he said, let me test this thing out. This Christian went into 3 different gay-friendly bakeries in Colorado, and he requested cakes that had religious messages opposing homosexuality and same-sex marriage. But all 3 gay-friendly bakers refused. They said, no, we can't make a cake that condemns homosexuality. And so the Christian then went and complained to the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. He said, hey, they're discriminating against me as a Christian. So what did the Colorado Civil Rights Commission do? This is the same commission that ordered Jack to bake the same-sex wedding cake against his convictions. That same commission who basically equated Jack Phillips with Nazis. That same commission said that those gay-friendly bakeries have the right to run their businesses according to their convictions. But Jack Phillips does not. If that's not a double standard, I don't know what is. And this is what's at stake. This is what's going before the Supreme Court. I once heard it said that if the left didn't have double standards, it wouldn't have any standards left. I want to show you a quick video that'll illustrate this for you. And y'all bear with Andrew a moment. This video will illustrate the point well, I think. This is my media guru over there. You got the volume on the computer down? If you'll press stop, and then once you get the volume up, you can press stop and start it over again. And turn up the volume to 50. You still got the music going on for iTunes. If you press the Windows button, and you can shut down iTunes. Let's see how he does under pressure.
So we've been hearing a lot lately about the freedom to live and work according to your beliefs, from the fashion designer in New York City to the small town florist in Washington. Everyone seems to have opinions. So we visited the University of Wisconsin in Madison to hear what people have to say.
So there was a dress designer that turned down Melania Trump. Designer dress, she opted out. Do you think that she has the right to do that?
Yeah, why not?
Do you think it's okay for her to do that?
Yeah.
You should be able to control your business in that regard, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's company's choice, right? I mean, it's a free market. That's what most conservatives want anyway, so.
Do you think that she has the right to do that?
The dress designer? Absolutely.
So you have the right to opt out of business that you might not want to associate yourself with?
Yes.
So if you were, let's say, a Muslim singer here in Madison, and a church approached you for an Easter service for you to sing, do you have the right to opt out of that?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have the right to opt out of doing whatever you want.
I think, I guess so.
That seems like such an unusual circumstance that they would want them. Like, that the Christian church would want to force a Muslim singer to sing at their church if they didn't want to.
I would feel like if I was Muslim, it would be hard to work with someone.
Yeah, if that goes against your religious views, I feel like you have to turn that down.
So there's actually a city ordinance that would allow those groups to sue you. by opting out, by turning down their request? Do you think that's a good law?
Probably not.
So the law is saying what now, that the Muslim singer can opt out?
Can't opt out.
Cannot opt out. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what the law says?
Do you think that's an okay law?
I don't believe so, no. Not at all. I feel like that goes against people's rights.
So, pretty much, do you think that a law should exist that would force somebody to do the work?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So, let's say you were a Christian photographer here in Madison,
yeah.
And someone approached you to do a same-sex wedding. Would that be hateful or discriminatory to opt out of that?
I don't know.
Do you have the right to do that?
In that situation, probably not, because that would bring up some legal issues, I would suspect.
Like that city ordinance, right?
Yes, yeah.
The one that you didn't agree with?
Yeah.
If it was switched to, like, Christian views or something, they wouldn't be able to do that, and also, I don't know, I just think it should be, like, fair all around.
I think it's very difficult to determine what reason it is that you make that decision, unless you're very steadfast in your religion, saying, no, this is wrong. In which case, that's, yeah, you're a jerk for doing that.
So your political views, your ideas and kind of worldview is okay to say no to business, but your religious views aren't?
No.
That's such a sticky issue.
Everyone agreed that a creative professional should have the foundational freedom to decline work that conflicts with their conscience and beliefs. But when faced with a situation that conflicts with current cultural expectations, like a Christian photographer declining to promote a same-sex wedding, the gears start grinding. If a law that forces someone to promote something that's against their beliefs is so laughable, so unimaginable, then why is it so difficult to extend that same freedom to a Christian creative professional?
All right. Good job, Andrew. Can you get that light back on for me? And the other one, too. There you go. Good job. So hopefully you see the conundrum there. It's interesting that these students conceive so clearly that a business owner should have the right to run their business according to their convictions. Duh. But then suddenly, when it comes to a Christian photographer not wanting to participate in a same-sex wedding, all of a sudden they're stuck. And it's like, so everybody has religious, or everybody has the freedom to live according to their conscience, apparently, except for Christians. And that's what's happening right now. And so it's very clear that as a business owner, even as an employee, you should be able to live according to your convictions. We're just asking for the same rights for everybody. Now, real quick, we're almost done, but what about discrimination? We're going to talk more about this evening, but what about discrimination? Isn't it unlawful to discriminate? You can't refuse to serve someone on the basis of their race, so why is it legal, or why should it be okay for someone to be discriminated against on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity? Well, let me respond to that in four ways, because this is what you're going to have to deal with as you're making the case. First of all, race is not the same as sexual orientation or gender identity. Would anybody disagree with that? they're not the same. This is two totally different issues. And one of the things that you can say is that race is innate. Race is not something that you can change or stop. Homosexuality and transgenderism are actually lifestyle choices. Now, I'm not saying that someone chooses to have a certain attraction, but you have to choose to live according to that lifestyle. You can choose to live according to that lifestyle or not. In other words, what I'm saying. Thousands of former homosexuals and transgenders have come out of that lifestyle and are living in obedience to Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about your attractions. We're not talking about your proclivities. We're talking about the lifestyle that you choose. Whereas a black man cannot choose to not be black anymore. And it's just something that he is stuck with. Second, the United States Constitution explicitly prohibits discrimination on the basis of race. It does not say anything about sexual orientation or gender identity. As well, one of the things that we have to remember as you're making the case is that this is not about discrimination, because Jack serves all people. He serves gays. There are no bakeries or photographers Here's what's not happening in America. There aren't any bakeries or photographers or floral shops who are turning away gays. It's not like when you come in for business, they say, okay, are you gay or straight? Because if you're gay, just turn around and get out. We're not going to sell you anything. That's not happening in any restaurants. It's not happening in any businesses. This is merely what's happening here with Jack is he merely cannot participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony. Just like there are many different cakes that he can't make, one of them is a same-sex wedding cake. Finally, before you start feeling sorry for the same-sex couple, ask yourself this question. Who is the real victim in this story? Who's the real victim in the Jack Phillips case? The same-sex couple that Jack declined to serve was offended. They got their feelings hurt. Welcome to adulthood. I get my feelings hurt every time I turn on the TV because the TV is very anti-Christian. They're very anti-God. Every time you watch Saturday Night Live, if you're a Republican, you will be offended. Every time I go to work, every time I step out of the house, I'm offended greatly because of the things that come out of people's mouths. I mean, people are always using God's name, taking the name of Jesus Christ in vain constantly. So I'm offended all the time. That's adulthood. That's really the price of living in a pluralistic society where we all believe different things and have different values. Welcome to adulthood. You got your feelings hurt. Oh, well. Now look at Jack Phillips. He was cussed out, flipped off. He received hateful phone calls nonstop for several weeks. He received death threats. He faced a boycott. He faced a protest. And then he was forced to either violate his religion and disobey God or stop making wedding cakes altogether, which is what he had to do, losing 40% of his business and having to lay off 6 of his 10 employees, including 2 family members. Who's the real victim in the story? Many people are calling this the Roe versus Wade of religious liberty. You remember what Roe v. Wade was, the landmark abortion case in 1973, in which abortion became legal in all 50 states during all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason whatsoever. And since then, 60 million babies have been killed. 60 million unborn children have been killed. And so for people to call this the Roe v. Wade of religious liberty, that should wake you up and say, this is big. This is a big moment in our nation's history. This is the biggest fight for religious liberty that our nation has ever had. And so that's why we're talking about this in church. In the book of Acts in the New Testament, you know this story. The church was just getting started, and the Jewish government came to the disciples, and they said, stop preaching about Jesus. The Jewish government tried to use the force of the government to stop the disciples from expressing and exercising their religion and their speech. And what did the disciples say in Acts 5:29? They said, we must obey God rather than people. And that's what Jack Phillips said. And that's why we're standing with him, because as Christians, we do not have the freedom, the luxury of just obeying God until it becomes costly. We don't have the luxury of obeying God until it comes into conflict with the will of man and with the law of man. No, we always have to obey God wherever we go. And so the government has 2 options. It can either make space for us and continue to give Christians religious freedom, or it can turn its greatest patriots into outcasts and criminals. And that's what we're facing. And so here's what I'm challenging you to do. Number one, get involved in the fight for religious liberty. And that means, number one, vote. Make sure you're voting for pro-religious liberty candidates. And this is something, just like candidates used to always be asked, what is your stance on abortion? Now, candidates are being asked, what is your stance when it comes to this issue of religious liberty versus sexual liberty? They're being asked this now. And as Christians, we must vote in favor of religious liberty. Vote against SOGIs. Right now, we don't have one in Lafayette Parish. We don't have one in the state of Louisiana as far as the state government goes, the state law. But the fight is coming. It's coming to Youngsville eventually. It's going to come to Lafayette Parish. It's going to come to the parish near you. And so get ready. Get ready for that fight. Study up on the issue so you can make the case, as I'm doing today. The second thing is I want to encourage you to donate to the Christmas offering specifically to this case. We're raising $3,000 and a third of it, $1,000, we want to send directly to Alliance Defending Freedom. Just to let you know how serious we are as a church about this issue, as soon as it was decided that the Supreme Court was going to hear Jack's case, our lead team immediately decided to cut a check for $1,000 right away. That's our church's money. And we sent it to Alliance Defending Freedom right away and said, we're standing with you. So we'd like to raise now another $1,000 to support them. The third thing I want to ask you to do is to pray, fast and pray tomorrow. Here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to eat a meal. My last meal will be for supper tonight. And then tomorrow, I'm not going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Just all day Monday, I'm not going to eat anything. Just going to drink fluids. And I'm going to be fasting and praying specifically for Jack Phillips and for the oral argument, which is happening on Tuesday. And so the best way to do that is if you're going to fast with us, is have three times of prayer tomorrow. And so when you would normally eat breakfast, since you're not eating breakfast, get alone with your Bible, spend some time in prayer. And then at lunch, since you're not eating, spend some time in prayer. Same thing for dinner. And then all during the day, because you'll be thinking about food all day long, that's your reminder. Pray for Jack. Pray for Kristen Wagner. Pray for Alliance Defending Freedom. Pray for this case and the oral arguments that there would be success. If you're going to be fasting, if you're interested in doing that, I'd like to know. I'd like to know how many of us are standing together. So put that on your connection card. Just put fasting or something like that. I'm fasting. I'll be fasting tomorrow as well. By the way, if you can't fast for your health reasons, if you can't fast all three meals, maybe you can fast one meal. Maybe you can fast in some other way. But if you're going to be fasting with us, then let me know. What are we praying for specifically? Just two things, and then I'll close. We're praying for the Supreme Court to decide to protect the right of creative professionals to create artistic expression that is consistent with their convictions. So we're praying for them to decide in Jack's favor that he would have the right to create art, to do work in accordance with his convictions. The second thing, we're praying for the Supreme Court to decide to protect the freedom of conscience, not only for those who support same-sex marriage, but for all Americans, and not only in private and at church, but also at work. That's what we're praying for. So we're going to be talking more about religious liberty tonight. If y'all would like to join us, I'll be talking about dispelling the myths about religious liberty. And if you come tonight, you'll learn about how to make the case as you're talking to people for religious liberty.